Praise the Lord. Message number 8. The title of the message, How to Invite God to Fight for You. Let's open our Bible to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7, and let us read from verse 1 to verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 17. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to guard the ark of the Lord. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth, and commit yourself to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreth, and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistine heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines, and it threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Lord. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, Thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her. And Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all these places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was, and there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Bless this time, Lord, and use it mightily, Lord, for your glory. Anoint my lips, O God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that your word and your message will bring clarity in the life of your people. It will bring help, salvation, hope, healing, deliverance, solution for people, problems, answer for their question, O God, and relief in their life, O God. I pray that through this message we will bring your people more draw near to you, O God, and they will be faithful to you, Lord, from this day on, as you're going to deliver them and help them, as you're going to deliver us and help us. Lord, you will draw more near, close to you, and we show more faithfulness to you, O God. Bless this day. Bless this message, O God. Let this message taken by the power of the Holy Spirit and accomplish the purpose that you sent this message for, O God. Lord, we pray for a hundredfold of harvest of souls, O Lord, of workers, of maturity, Lord, of deliverance, of restoring back people and ministries and blessing into the life of your people. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. Take this message with the power of the Spirit and spread it to the four corners of the earth. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. This is all we ask and pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Life is not easy. Everyone knows that. In a certain aspect, it is becoming so hard and difficult to manage. But to live, there are in front of us two options, in front of you two options. Either you live by your own ways, but you need to fight and struggle without the help of God. Or the other option, or you live according to God's way, and in such manner, you are inviting God to fight for you. It is so far better and more effective and more fruitful. The life will be when you trust God and obey Him, that He is the Master, the Redeemer, the Protector of your life. And as you fully trust Him, you are inviting God to fight for you. And He will be the one to be in the battle field. And this way, life will be more easy. And struggle will be more. Yes. But this requires, if you want God to fight for you, requires absolute obedience toward God and His word. As you continue to obey God, not only obey, but fully obey, and fully trust His word and put it into practice, then At the day of the battle, God will say to you, "You just raise, you wash me, and see how I will fight for you." But if you fail the Lord and His command and His word, in the day of the battle, you will find yourself alone. God is make Himself aside, and He will tell you, "Okay, now you go and fight for yourself. As you left me, see how you can manage your life without me." And that is the situation of many people who love God, and they live their life according to their own will and according to their own ways. They trust people, they trust their friends, they trust themselves, they trust their finances, their resources, their education. But the day when they need the Lord, when everything had been tried and not effective, then they will realize that all what they have, which will be not effective in helping them to live a good life, smooth, prosperous, without struggle. And it is worthy. It is worthy to trust God and to obey Him, because God can deal with whatever enemy's size. If the size of the enemy is more than you, God can deal with it. And whatever threat, and in every time, whatever threat, even the threat that you are not ready to face, God can face for you. There are times that you are not ready to face a problem. As God in your sight, God can face it for you. God can reach and strike the enemy that we cannot reach and strike. He can reach a place that we cannot penetrate. He can change the equation. He is above mathematics and human calculation. God can turn tables for our behalf. He can bring our enemies down, and He can bring us up. It depends on us how we respond to Him. God is willing to fight the battle for us. If we are willing to obey him and walk in his ways and trust him fully. At the time of 1 Samuel chapter 7, that the Ark of the Lord that represents the presence of God in the life of the people, they were putting it in a house, and where that's where the place where the church meeting is going on, and the people, they are coming from different places of Israel, and they were going there to seek the Lord and his help and his aid to them. The people, they were seeking the Lord in their life, and that is how to invite God to fight for you, to seek him in his temple, in his church, with his people. But Samuel was the leader, was the minister in the house of the Lord, and he directed the people in the way of God. That is the responsibility of the leader of the church, to face the people with the truth and rebuke them and correct them. The people, they need a leader who would interfere in their life, who would interact in their life in a positive way to bring them into the right way, into the right track. The leader should be the one, the active, dynamic person that God would use to stir up the spirit of the people. The first point that here we want to discuss: if you want God to fight for you, you need to give your life and your heart fully to the Lord and fully trusting him. In verse 3, Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, he put a proposal to them. If you are willing to come back to the Lord fully, if you are willing to surrender your life fully to the Lord, and if you want to give your life and heart and all what you have to God, then he make it very clear to them. And God want to make it very clear to you, and I want to make it very clear to you through this message. Then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth, and commit yourself to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. You need to throw all the idols. All the idols, the saints, Mother Mary, the Hindu statues, the Buddhist, the Muslim idols, all you need to throw away and commit yourself to the Lord. What he's telling here is this: if you are really returning to the Lord, then show that by throwing all the idols in your life, in whatever form. Picture of saints, human figures, animal, etc. And commit your ways to God. Remove all the idols from your hearts, like the idols of pride, greed, unless there are idols that's in the heart. Figure we love more than God. We love money, lust, worldly things. All these are idols in the heart. Greed, immoralities, unforgiveness, hatred, all these are idols. Those are all you may run after and become your God. By throwing all these idols, you are dedicating your life to serve God wholeheartedly. People are main figure that you are serving, and that and the labor that you spend on your ambition is of no benefit to you. In the day of battle, when you have a problem, all these things, all these people, those good figures, your ambitions, your plans, your good friend, you will not find anyone of them to help you. But to be sure, they will be the one to pull you down and put you down. Only God can help you to deliver you from your bondages. The Israelites at that time, they were under the bondage of the Philistines. They were enslaving them. But God delivering them. God delivering them from all was able to deliver them after they throw their idols and commit their ways into the hands of the Lord. So the Israelites put away all away their Baals and Ashtoreth and save the Lord only. That's the message for you. You want to get delivered? What's your bondage? Money bondage? Debt bondage? Enemy bondage? Family problem bondage? Favoritism? Racism? What is your problem? What is your bondage? God can still deliver you from them all, but are you willing to throw all what you trust on and clean your heart from all the idols and the figures that is contradict the word of God and fully trust the Lord and see how the Lord will deliver you? This message speak about deliverance. God want to deliver you from the bondage of the enemy. God is hearing your cry. God is seeing your pain and he is willing to help you. He is willing to wipe your tears. He is willing to listen to your cry. He is willing to comfort you. But you need to come to the Lord. Get rid yourself of all the idols, outside, external and internal, tradition, culture, costume of people, bad habit. Throw all this away. These are all idols and you are yoked with it. And these things will bring, is bringing the bondages and had brought the bondages in your life. As you throw them away, you will find yourself delivered through the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Verse 5, then someone say, assemble all Israel at Mizpah and I will intercede with the Lord for them. Unity in the mind and thought. Very important. As we come together to the Lord, we must be united with him, with his word, with his will, with his plan. There is power when we come united with God and what he said and the promise in his word. There is power in the prayer when people come together united as Christ said. In Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20, again I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. As you come together, we need first to agree with the Lord and his word. Then we can be united together. What God say, on this we unite. Then we have to change our view and points. We need to be united according to what God has said, not according to what we want or our wish or our plan. It will not work a prayer. Unity, we must set our minds on things above and fix and set our heart and fix our heart and eyes on things above where Christ is seated. Heavenly things we have to think and heavenly things we need to love. Unity is very important. When the people they come together united with what God say and promise and his will, then God will move mightily and deliver us, will go forward in our life, and God going to give us a great victory and a great success in our pursuit against the enemies. The next point in verse 6, when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. Samuel was leader of Israel at مسبح. What they did? They pour out, they draw water and pour it out before the Lord. The water is clear and transparent, and God wants us to be like water, transparent, and our hearts are in a pure motive with Him. God wants us to have a pure heart, undivided heart, no wrong motive, no wrong agenda. That is one point. We don't come to the Lord, we have a problem, and still our heart is unclean. There's dirt, there is things hinder God from moving. God wants us like the pure water, transparent and clear, nothing disturbing the movement of God. As they pour out the water before the Lord, God wants us to pour our life for Him like a drink offering. Paul said to Timothy, he said to him, let us read that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He told him that that his life is already verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. God wants us to pour out everything, our life, our ambition, the thing that we love, the thing that we cherish, all of it. We need to pour it out for the Lord as a drink offering. And what they did also, according to verse 7, verse 6, they confessed their sin. And that is the important thing. They did not. If you want God to fight for you, don't put it on some other people. Don't put it on your enemy. Don't put it, please, on Satan also. Don't put it on me also. Put it on yourself. That's what God wants and desires. If you confess and you renounce your sin, you will find mercy. But whoever concealing them, he will not find mercy. If you will keep your sin, hiding your sin, and putting it on someone else, then you will not find mercy. In the sight. Of the Lord. But if you confess this and you renounce them, you will find mercy. In Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13, say, he who conceals his sins does not prosper. How we conceal your sin? How you conceal your sin? You don't say what you did wrong. You try to put it on the people and point that they are the one that did the mistake. It's not you. But you will not prosper in this way. But whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. If you say, I have done wrong, as they say here, we have sinned against the Lord, and someone was the leader there, he is teaching them, and that is the sound teaching. Don't put it on somebody else. Like Adam, he put it on Eve, and Eve, she put it on the devil. And that's the people. They will say devil and devil and devil and devil, and this person and that person, and because of you. But they will not say, we have sinned against the Lord. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and forgive and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. The meaning here to confess, not to say it only, but to repent of it. Before you expect God would work for your behalf, you need to repent from your sins and acknowledge that your suffering is due to your disobedience to His word and commands. Repentance is turn 100 degree away from sin toward God. You need to confess the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ over your life. As you confess your sin, you need to make it clear with Him that you're not going back to sin again. When the Lord sure about that, then he will cry, he will work mightily for your behalf. Verse 7, when the Philistine hear that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. Verse 8, they say to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Here the important point of prayer, intercession and crying. Those in bondages, we need to continue to pray for them and they will get delivered. Intercession. Samuel was interceding for them, and we need to pray for one another. Pray in the spirit, all kinds of prayer. We need to praise because that is what God wants us to do. Pray that I may declare the message in the way that I should be. When we open our mouth as we pray for one another, God will give us word what we need to speak and tell the people. Not only prayer and intercession, but crying to the Lord. Crying to God is effective. Have you prayed? Have you kneeled down? Have you touched the cloth of Jesus as the woman with the bleeding? Have you cried to the Lord? David says in Psalm 40, verse 1, and verse 2, and verse 3. And verse 4, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. David was in a very big trouble, but he cried to the Lord. He did not pray, but he cried. Certain time you need to humble down. You need to cry out to God. As they say to someone, they held to me and they asked, cry out for us. And they were crying sure. They were afraid, and God wanted his children to cry out to him. He lifted me out of the sleepy pit. Yes, that is the root, that is the fruit of crying. When we cry to the Lord, God will lift us out from the sleepy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He take us out from that pit, put us in a firm stand, a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. They hear the deliverance after crying. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. You need very important point here. You need to have faith in God. Crying to God. Crying should be based on your full trust in the Lord. As the enemy coming near to us, to attack us, we should remember our Father who is in heaven. He is waiting for us to pray and to cry out to him to rescue us. Crying to men will not bring good result. God only can help us. People, they cry to their relative, to their friends, to their neighbors, to me. But please, you cry to God. From this day on, you cry to the Lord. Have faith in God and trust him wholeheartedly. Commit your life, body, soul and spirit to him and walk in his ways. Do not put your trust on people or on any figure. Truly, they cannot help you. If you have kept anything like a man figure or material capital as an alliance to help you in times of trouble, then be assured that the things that you trust in, it will be the very same thing that it will pull you down. Therefore, be earnest and repent to the Lord and cry out to him for help. God can help you and can support you. The next point that we need to emphasize, how to invite God to fight for you, we mention giving your life and your heart in full trust to the Lord. Second point, unity in mind and thought with God. Third, a pure heart and a clean motive. And pouring your life as a drink offering before the Lord, confessing and renouncing all your sins. The next one, crying to God. The next one is fully trusting in the Lord. The next point is obeying the spiritual leader that gives you God's instruction using the Word of God with the direction of the Holy Spirit. God was speaking to the Israelites through Samuel that he placed over them. Samuel was speaking to the people the Word of God and God's instruction of how they can fight the battle and have the victory. What we give you teaching, what I give you teaching and instructions, this you need to follow exactly, because that is the way of how God is reaching you through His church, through His servant, and through the Word of God that He wants to direct you so that you can be delivered completely. It is right what you may say, that I am under God, but God Himself had put people over you to instruct you with the Word of God, and you need to listen to them. God's Word teaches us the following in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 and 8. Say, remember your leaders who spoke the Word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. God had put you in the church so that we can help you, so that God can help you through us to get delivered from problems. How we can help you? Give you the instruction and the teaching. And yes, you do it. As we can see here, Samuel did not give them material things, but he directed them in what God wanted them to do and to be. And then they got deliverance. The leader who is chosen by God is the mouthpiece of God to the people to direct them to what God wants them to know, to do, and to be. We can also tell the following. To invite God to fight the battle for you, this will come through when you ask the counsel of the Lord from those whom God called to instruct you with his word. That is why God's word teaches us, God's word teaches you the following. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Samuel was moving all around the year so he can teach and instruct the people of what to do. We who are called to lead others, we move constantly, continuously to do the same, moving around to pasture the flock, the people that God entrusts to us, to nurture and to lead them in the way of righteousness until Jesus would come and take us together with Him to heaven. God gave us His word as an instruction to us to win the battle. More point here, that the Word of God teaches us how to fight the battle. Verse 9, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered Him. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. The meaning of the suckling lamb. The suckling lamb that Samuel offered to God was a burnt offering. And the meaning of the burnt offering in the New Testament. And that is the next point that God wants us to have in Him, to see in us, is to full surrender to God. When we full surrender to God, then God will work in our behalf. The whole animal as a burnt offering, after it started to be burnt offering to the Lord, is the burnt offering. The burnt offering in the old covenant, it means to fully surrender to God. If you want God to fight for us and take over the battle and give us a victory, then we need to surrender our life, our future, our everything fully to Him. Have you surrendered your life fully to God, or still you hold in some area, some rooms, some part of your body are not yet surrendered to God? Unless you surrender fully to the Lord, God will not listen to prayer and to cry. As you fully surrender, God will answer prayer. Just while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistine drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were rooted before the Israelites. This is a decision. If you decide now to fully surrender to God, your will, your future, your plan in the hand of God, then God will thunder from heaven and God will crush your enemy. You need not to fight the battle. You don't need to struggle with your own life. God can able to fight for you, to crush the enemy, to work for your behalf. He crushed him, the Lord crushed him. He wiped him away. If that is your decision, that you will fully surrender to God, to His word, to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, then be assured that before your enemy reaches you, it will be crushed by the Lord. The first time did not reach the Israelites that day, God crushed them. And that's the promise of God to us, as we surrender fully to the Lord. Whatever enemy is coming toward us, God will crush them. They will come in one, united in one direction, but they will flee in seven. God will fight the battle for you, and you will have the victory, and you will collect the plunder. Here, they have a great victory. The men of Israel rush out of Mizpah and pursue the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory. Again, when God fight for you, here, the enemy did not come back to them again. But when you fight yourself, they will keep coming to you. If you want to fight the enemy yourself, then expect the enemy will come back again and again and again. But when God fights for you, no more. They will be trembled, they will be afraid. We cannot go near this person. God is with him. Again, we will be troubled by God because of this person. And here, we'll find another point that we need to observe. In bringing God in inviting God to fight the battle for us, you need to be grateful to God. Let us proclaim all what the Lord has given to us. Let us do what Samuel did. What Samuel did? Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer. Thus far has the Lord helped us. We should always mention with a grateful heart what the Lord did for us. Thus far has the Lord helped us. And we should give Him thanks and praise for that. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's for you in Christ Jesus. As God fight for us, as God deliver you, solve your problem, then testify. Tell to the people what God had done for you. The Lord is willing to fight the battle for you. And what more? God crush the enemy. When we invite God to fight for us, there are things we receive. First, God will crush the enemy before they reach us. He will fight. Second, God will not allow the enemy to invade us again. Third, let us read verse 14. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistine had captured from Israel were restored to her. That's restoration of what the enemy have taken. Previously, the enemy have taken from us ministry, money, authority, things. It will be restored back. And fourth, and Israel delivered the neighborhood territory from the power of the Philistines. God will use us to deliver other people from bondages. God wants us to fully trust Him. As the conclusion of the message, as we meditate on all these points in our mind with the help of the Holy Spirit, kneel down, surrender your life and your will, throw your idols, cry to God, pray, fast, confess your sins, renounce them, submit and to the teaching that you have received and the instruction that we give you. With a grateful heart and thankful heart, God is willing to work on your behalf. God is willing to crush the enemy. Tell Him, Lord, I am coming back to you. Receive me, Lord. Help me, O God. I am harassed with this problem. I am throwing away all my eyes and what I trust on. I want to surrender my life fully unto you, Lord. You help me, O God. You guide me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I cry out to you, O God. Deliver me, Lord, from these enemies, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I believe, O God. As I surrender, you are already starting to fight the battle. You are already crushing the enemies. You are already bringing back, restoring to me what they have taken, O God. You are already, Lord, putting hedge around you, Lord. You are ready, O God. You had pushed them back in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I will proclaim your goodness. And I will save you and I will deliver other people from these bondages. Lord, I give you thanks. I pray for each and everyone who pray and repent fully and come back to you, Lord. Deliver that brother and that sister. And Lord, I pray you raise them an army after your own heart to do your work and your will. Lord, I pray you guard this word. Protect it, O God, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And take this message. Let it reach those who are waiting to hear your word and your voice. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Master. Come, Holy Spirit. O God, touch your people. Touch them with your word, O God. Cleanse them, O God, and transform them. Raise up people, cleanse up to your heart. Fill people with the Holy Spirit. Let your message bring more souls to be saved. More people to get delivered. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Master. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.